We continue tonight our series on 1 Timothy, turning again to chapter 4. And the text tonight will be the last five verses of the chapter, verses 12 through 16. And again, we'll read 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. And now begins the text. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Thus far, we read God's word. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing in the preaching. Father in heaven, we give thanks again for the Holy Scriptures, which teach us truth. And we are thankful as well for the Holy Spirit, so that we are able to understand what the Scriptures teach and say to us. Now we're also thankful that Thou dost give us preaching, and we pray that Thou wilt use this word to be an encouragement to the preacher that Thou hast given to us, that he may be faithful in the work and the callings that Thou hast given to him, and use this word also to be an encouragement to us, that we may know how to pray for our pastor and the pastors of our churches. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the word. What a great blessing we receive through it. Thou art a God who is pleased to use weak and sinful men for the spread of the gospel and the building up of thy church. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt continue to show thy great power in the church through this means. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the reasons that I chose to preach on the book of 1 Timothy was that this book would be an encouragement to me in the work and calling that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me as your pastor. There are many things along the way that have been an encouragement and help to me. But the passage that we consider tonight is a word for me. Now, the word is always for me. It is. But here in a special way, as a minister of the gospel, this is a word that is important for me. And it is because it's speaking, especially in verses 14 and 15, which are the heart of the passage. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. So Paul, speaking to Timothy, who's this young pastor in the church in Ephesus, and he says to him, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And that's the very heart of the passage. But also along with that, notice the words that are found there. There are commands that are found in the passage, and commands that are really getting at the same thing. Be faithful in this work. That's the word to me tonight. Be faithful in this work that I have been given to do. Notice how that comes out in the text. Verse 13, give attendance to these things. So that means give your attention to these things. Verse 14, along with it, there's the negative. Neglect not. But then positively in verse 15, meditate upon these things. That means think upon these things and give your attention and your mind to these things. Then along with that, give thyself wholly to them. And then in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. So you see through those commands, the emphasis that is found here, it's to a young minister here, Timothy, be faithful in the calling God has given to you. And that's the word that comes to me tonight as well. Timothy needed that. He was a young pastor. I suppose I'm no longer a young pastor, being in the ministry almost 20 years now. But yet, the same encouragement is needed for me and the work that I have been given to do. It's needed for me because of the difficulties of the work, because the labor of that, as we heard last week out of verse 10, there is labor in the work of the ministry within the church. But it's also needed because Satan is constantly attacking the ministry of the gospel by attacking the ministers of the gospel. And there are attacks today upon the ministry of the word. And so this word is needed by me, an encouragement for me in my work in your midst. But it's also a word that was needed for the congregation that Timothy served, and thus it's a word that's important for you. We've noticed as we've gone through the book of 1 Timothy that the word is not just for Timothy, but it's just as much for the congregation that he was serving there in Ephesus. And so the word is not just for me, but the word also is for the church. And really it's this, it's so you may better know how to pray for your pastor and pray for the pastors in the churches as well. As I said earlier, I'm no longer a young pastor. I am an experienced minister, and yet I still need the prayers of the congregation. I don't have this all figured out. Even being your own pastor for now 14 years, and that's pretty special in and of itself to be able to pastor a congregation for 14 years. I believe that and I'm very thankful for that. But the question is, how is it that a man can continue to go that long in a congregation, continue to serve in that congregation? And the word is to be faithful in the ministry. And so pray that for me, that I would be faithful in the ministry, and especially as the ministry is under attack in the day in which we live. So what we remember as we look at this passage tonight, it's a word for me, but also a word for you. So with that, we look at this text under the title and theme, Encouraged to Faithful Ministry. Encouraged to Faithful Ministry. Notice first the calling that is found here in the text. Secondly, the manner, the way that is to be carried out. And then finally, the result. As I said, the heart of the instruction that is found in this passage is found in verses 14 and 15, and so that is where we begin tonight. In verse 14 we read, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And then positively, verse 15 is, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. The idea here is that the gift that is given for the ministry must not be wasted. It must not be neglected. Now, that's not just true for the ministry. That's true for all of us. This could be a word that would be spoken to you children and young people as you have started school again. Don't waste the gifts that God has given to you. No, don't neglect them. But instead develop them and use them and know how you are to use them as you go forward. But this isn't a word for you students, and it's not a word for you as adults and the callings you have. It's a word for me and the calling that I have. And the Word of God comes to me and says, don't waste or neglect the gift that is given. But instead, be a good steward of that gift. So what can be applied to everyone is now applied specifically to the pastor of the church. The first thing we look at then as we look at these verses, verses 14 and 15, is what is this gift of which Paul speaks in the text? The gift itself is not identified, but the question arises then, what is this gift? We might think, and when Paul here is speaking of the gift, we might think of the gifts that one has for the ministry. That a man has certain qualifications. We looked at qualifications in chapter 3. Man is humble. Man has in him compassion and love for the church. A love for the truth. A love for God himself. So there's certain qualifications that a man must have. Is that what Paul is referring to here? Or there are certain qualifications and gifts that a man has to have in order to teach. So his teaching ability so that he can stand up in front of a congregation and teach them what the Word of God says. Well, those things would be included, but notice here that the word gift is in the singular. Really, it comes down to one thing. So that points out to us that it's not all of those things, but this gift of which Paul speaks is the gift of the Holy Spirit that is given for the gospel ministry. Not only does that come out with the word gift, but that comes out in two other ways here in the text. The first one is this. It says that the gift is in thee. Paul says that gift is in you. Now that would refer to the work of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it? As the Holy Spirit dwells within a man. Now of course we all have the Holy Spirit within us. But now we're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit given to a man, which equips him for the work of the ministry. And that especially comes out in the last part of verse 14. Where it speaks of this gift which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. There it speaks of the laying on of hands. This is what would have happened when Timothy was ordained into the gospel ministry. Maybe some of you have seen that before. A time when a man is ordained. When he's ordained, he'll get down on his knees. And the ministers who are in the audience will come forward and they'll all place their hands on his head. This will happen, the Lord willing, with Jacob Mottman and with Matt Cordes coming up. There'll be the laying on of hands. What does that signify? What does that mean? That's what we get at here in this passage. The laying on of hands is something that actually goes back to the Old Testament. We know that where there were special offices of prophet, priest, and king, there was anointing. And recently we looked at that as we looked at those three offices of Christ, prophet, priest, and king in the Heidelberg Catechism. But also in the Old Testament, there was the laying on of hands. We read of that in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy 34. Verse 9. There we read, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And so it appears that there was even a ceremony before all of Israel where Moses laid his hand upon Joshua, symbolizing that he would be the one to lead the people and he would be the one with the gifts that were needed to take care of the people of God as they went into the promised land of Canaan. We also find this practice in the early New Testament church, the book of Acts in chapter 13. Go to Acts chapter 13. This is when the church in Antioch sent out Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries. They were sent out on that first missionary journey. And then we read in verse 3, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So first, before they went out, there's this laying on of hands on them. What's the significance of the laying on of hands as we find that in the Scriptures? Well, the laying on of hands pictured the Holy Spirit coming on men, equipping them for the work that they were called to do. Understand that nothing magical happens with the laying on of hands. It's not as if with the laying on of hands there's some power that goes out of those who are laying on the hands upon the one upon whom the hands were laid. There's not power that's actually going, but it pictures something. It pictures that through the church, this man is called and then this man is equipped for the work that God has called him to do. This is the gift of which Paul speaks here in the text. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the one who qualifies men for the ministry. So now I break it down for a moment. That laying on of hands signified two things. First of all, called to the office. So Paul was saying to Timothy, "Timothy, you remember when the hands were laid on you? Remember what that means? It meant that you were called by the Lord Jesus Christ through His church." That's why the laying on of the hands by the elders, that pointed to the fact that the church then was used by Jesus Christ to call this man to the ministry of the gospel. It doesn't just happen that man feels called to the ministry and he asks some other guys to come together and lay their hands on him and thus he's a minister. No. It's a laying of hands by the church. Jesus Christ calls to the ministry through the church. Paul's saying to Timothy, "Timothy, that laying on of hands, you were called by Jesus Christ to the ministry through the church." Secondly, this laying on of hands pictured the Holy Spirit equipping the man for this work. So Timothy was given the gifts and the abilities that were necessary to carry out the work of the ministry. The Holy Spirit gave him everything that he needed to be a faithful minister of the Word. And because then the Holy Spirit came upon him, he had the qualifications for the ministry. He had the abilities to do this work. So Timothy, he was not a perfect man. He was a sinner saved by grace. Paul, who speaks of this, he was not a perfect man. He was a sinner saved by grace. That Timothy was given the Holy Spirit didn't mean he was such a great man that he could serve in the ministry. He was a sinner saved by grace, having what he needed through the Holy Spirit to carry out this work. This is important for this young man, Timothy, to remember. I want to take a moment and apply this to anybody, any young men here who might be thinking about the ministry. And the young men of the congregation ought to be thinking about the ministry as a calling. What we've considered here is important for a young man who considers that. You must not think that you have to be some kind of a perfect man or some kind of super Christian to be a minister of the gospel. No, you must be godly, and the Holy Spirit must give that godliness. You must have the qualifications that are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, certainly, but that doesn't mean you have to be a perfect man. You must know yourself to be a sinner saved by grace. But also part of the way in determining that if you're called to the ministry is looking, do I have the gifts? Has the Holy Spirit given me some gifts that I have that can be used in the service of Christ and of His church? And so a young man ought to be looking at that and considering that and praying about that as well. But now this is a word that speaks to me. The Holy Spirit has called me to the work of the ministry. And the Holy Spirit, in a gracious work, has equipped for the ministry as well. When He calls, He equips. And now the Word of God comes to the minister of the gospel and says, "Neglect not that gift that is in you," that gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the question then comes secondly here in this first point, how is the minister of the gospel to use this gift of the Holy Spirit? And the text is saying negatively in verse 14, neglect not that gift. Don't waste it. Don't abuse it. Don't abandon that gift. But instead, be a faithful servant using this gift in the service of Christ and of His church. We get at that word neglect. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. That's a word that's not used very often in the New Testament, but an important word here. But now we shouldn't think that because Paul brings this word to Timothy, that Timothy was neglecting it. We have no evidence that Timothy was neglecting, abusing, wasting this gift that he had been given. This was meant to be an encouragement to him. It was meant to be preventative for him as he was beginning the work of the ministry as a young minister. We know the importance of that ourselves. The admonitions of Scripture come to us at times not because we're walking in that sin, but those admonitions are preventative for us. They're saying, remember this, you're not walking in that, but as you go forward and you're tempted, don't turn to that sin. Don't walk in that way. And so that is what Paul is doing here with Timothy. Timothy, don't neglect the gift that was given to you. When you're tempted to do that, now or later on in your ministry, neglect not that gift. The text here addresses a wrong attitude toward the ministry. Paul's saying to Timothy, don't do things half-heartedly. Don't be lazy in your work. Don't become devoted to yourself. Don't think you're entitled to certain things. We live in an age of entitlement, and I preach about that. And it's a danger for me just as much for you in the work of the ministry. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus on that in a wrong way. Don't think you're entitled to a certain amount of respect or certain things that people do for you. There's no room for any of this in the ministry. Neglect not the gift that is in you. But then there's the positive. In verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Meditate here means attend to them carefully. The idea is give yourself in the work of the ministry. Live for Christ and for His church. Be dedicated and devoted in your work. And do not let the cares of this world or sin for that matter squeeze out devotion to Christ and His church. The idea in verse 15, very literally, and give thyself wholly to them is be in these things. Be absorbed in this work. Let the work of the ministry be your constant care, the focus of your attention and your work in all that you are doing. Do so. Use the gifts that are given to grow. And so that the church grows as well, a minister must give himself in that. And so that's the reminder that comes to me tonight. In the work that I have been given to do, don't neglect the gift, but instead use it. Use the gift that I've been given to teach, to instruct, to give myself wholeheartedly in the ministry of the Word. So that's the idea of the calling that we have here. That's the idea of being faithful in the ministry, as that summarizes what verses 14 and 15 are saying. Now, going on from here, we see and understand how the minister is to be faithful in his work. It really is summarized by Paul in verse 16. Two things here regarding the manner of how this is to be done. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed unto thyself and then take heed unto the doctrine. These are the points A and B here in our second point. Paul commands Timothy, take heed unto thyself. Now that's not a command maybe we would be so familiar with. We might ask ourselves, what does this mean exactly? Take heed to yourself. In our day, people talk a lot about self-care. Or maybe some time ago would be, have some me time. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is not saying to Timothy, you need to really take care of yourself. You need to focus on yourself at certain times in your life. You need to have some me time. Now certainly there must be rest. We all know the importance of there being rest, physically and spiritually. And I have to heed that as well. There's a principle of rest for myself. But that's not what Paul is getting at here with Timothy. He's not saying, Timothy, make sure you take some time for yourself and all the busyness of your pastoral labors. But instead, taking heed to yourself brings us back to verse 12. Go to verse 12 and then we understand what he's getting at in verse 16. In verse 12 he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. This is what Paul's getting at when he says, take heed to thyself. Look at yourself and the way in which you are living. So we go back to verse 12. He says to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Question comes up then, well, how old exactly was Timothy? Well, it's estimated by commentators that Timothy joined Paul on his second missionary journey when he was in his mid-20s. If that's the case, then when Paul writes to Timothy here in this epistle, Timothy is probably in his mid-30s. Now, we might not think that that is necessarily so young for the ministry of the Word. In fact, a man in his mid-30s could already be in the ministry for 10 years, possibly, in our own churches. We have to see this and understand this in its context. And the context is this. Timothy, even in his mid-30s, was still considered a young man, especially in relationship to the age of men who likely would have been elders within the church. Going back to the Jewish tradition, those who were the elders in the church were elderly men. They were older men. So certainly not men in their 30s or 40s, probably even 50s, but maybe older than that. They were elderly men. So in contrast to those elderly men, Timothy, even in his mid-30s, if that's how old he was at this time, he was considered very young. And that might have been a hindrance to him in his work, that he would be looked down upon because of his youth. He would not have been respected maybe because of his youth. But it's striking that in the midst of this, Paul doesn't speak to the church, and Paul doesn't speak to the elders of the church, but he says to Timothy, Timothy, yes, you're young, but let no man despise thy youth. Well, if a man would despise Timothy's youth, what should he do? Well, the text says here, Timothy, you don't have to go reminding them, hey, I'm a minister. You have to listen to me. You don't have to go and remind them about your office. You don't have to remind them about the title maybe in front of your name. You don't have to try to throw your weight around in the office that you have been given. No. Do this. You want men to respect you, and you ought to be respected for the office sake. Do this. Be an example of the believers. Be a type. Be a model. Be a model to believers in this way, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Namely, be a godly man. Be what you're supposed to be as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at those words there that describe how the minister of the gospel ought to conduct himself in the work of the ministry. Paul says here to Timothy, be a model in these things. First of all, in word. That refers not to the preaching of the gospel. That refers to words that were given in speech. When he spoke to others, be godly in your speech. Be careful what you say. Be kind, be compassionate in what you say. Secondly, conversation. We use the word conversation for speech. That's not what Paul has in mind here. He has in mind conduct. So in words, secondly, in conduct, in your behavior, be godly, be an example to the people of God. Show them by your own behavior that you're living rightly before God. Then he goes on to say, now also in love. Demonstrate in your words and conduct that you love the church, that you love the saints, that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Demonstrate your love for the brother, your love for brothers and sisters in Christ, and your love for the neighbor. And in spirit. This refers to the inner man. This is the source of feelings and thinking and willing. So Paul's saying to Timothy, what you do should not be fake. It shouldn't just be put on. But what you do should arise out of the new man that you have in Jesus Christ in spirit and in faith. Trust in God and His promises and demonstrate that in the way that you live your life, that your conduct as well arises out of this faith. All good conduct arises out of faith. And then finally, purity. Yes, sexual purity, but purity in general, the idea being complete conformity to the law of God. Timothy, be this kind of man. Godly in your speech, godly in your conduct, a man who shows and displays love. Love that arises from the inner man in the spirit. That you're a man of faith and that you are a man of purity in your own life. So the idea is when Paul commands Timothy, take heed to yourself. The minister of the gospel must take heed to godly living. He must be a man who not only brings the word to the people and says, this is how you live, but he demonstrates by his own life that this is how to live. And no minister of the gospel can be perfect. But that's even part of the example that when I sin, I have to demonstrate to you what it is to be a humble man who admits his weakness and sin, confesses that, and seeks forgiveness from others as well. The minister of the gospel must live that, must be an example of that in his life within the congregation. He must adorn the gospel that he preaches with that godly life. As I said earlier, and I want to emphasize it to myself again, and to all of us for that matter, it's not something fake, it's not something put on just in the presence of others, but it's something that must be lived in all of life. That's the point of Paul to Timothy. Take heed to yourself. How are you living? Are you taking the word that you preach and applying it to yourself and living that out in your own life so that the people see before them a man who is living under the authority of the Word of God? It's very important in our day and really important in every age that the minister of the gospel lives in such a way. It's important because Satan attacks the ministry in many different ways, but part of it is in this way. We know that in our age and in our day that Satan is attacking the ministry by attacking the ministers and trying to get them caught up in sin, to destroy them and their ministry and their influence within the church as well. We know that the Apostle Paul himself was attacked when it came to godly living. If you read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, there are many attacks upon the work of the Apostle by attacking the Apostle. And all kinds of accusations were thrown against him. And those accusations were accusations that he could turn away because he said, no, those aren't accurate. Those are not true. For one thing, he was accused of using the office of apostle for his own physical gain. And then he had to remind the church in Corinth, that's absolutely not true. When I was with you, I didn't even take anything from you.
But I lived on my own. I supported myself. I wasn't in it for myself and for my own profit. But you see how the attacks come upon the ministry in that way. Even false attacks. But we know as well that within the church, within our churches and within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ found here on this earth, there are many examples of ministers who have fallen into gross public sin. And how that has hurt the church and hurt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. That's one of the things that I ask you to pray fervently for me and for our ministers, that we would be protected in this way, that we would take heed to ourselves, that we would live in godliness ourselves, that we'd live what we preach and display that as well, because Satan is attacking me and the ministers exactly on this front. So Paul says to Timothy, take heed to yourself. And then secondly, Paul calls Timothy to take heed to the doctrine. Take heed to the doctrine. That's the other part of verse 16. And that draws our attention back to an earlier part of the text, verse 13, where Paul says to Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Again, attend to these things. Give yourself to these things, to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. We want to understand what Paul is saying to Timothy here. First, reading. This here is not reading in general. Certainly a pastor must read. He must read good books that are edifying, that give him insight into the Scriptures. But the focus of this word reading is exactly that. It's reading Scripture. As a pastor, I am to read Scripture. I'm to read Scripture as part of public worship. I'm to read the Word of God with you. But also in the catechism classroom, I'm to read Scripture with the children and the young people. This is what the Word of God says. This is what God Himself teaches. That's what I'm to do when I make a hospital visit. Read the Word of God and then pray along with that. But when I'm working with someone who's struggling in some way in their own life, this is what the Word of God says to encourage you. I read the Scriptures whenever I bring the Word. So this is not reading in general, but the reading of the Scriptures. This has always had an important place within the church. You go back to the Old Testament and the people of God there. They needed the Scriptures read to them. They needed the law read to them. That's what would happen when they went to the tabernacle. And this is what happened when they went to the temple. They needed the Word of God read to them. And that tradition carried on even to the day of Jesus Christ in the synagogues where they worshiped. We receive insight into that when Jesus Himself went to His hometown of Nazareth and He preached in the synagogue there. What did He do? Well, first of all, He opened by reading Scripture. He opened the scroll to Isaiah 61, read out of Isaiah 61, and then He sat down to teach. And His teaching was, this day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears. Remember what He did there, though. He read the Scriptures. And that was so important for the people of God then. When they came to worship in the synagogue, they didn't have a Bible in front of them. They didn't read along with the Scripture reading. They had to listen. Because not everybody would have had a Bible. They didn't have bound books like this. They would be on scrolls. And they had to learn to memorize the Scripture as they heard the Scripture, because that was the way to carry it with them. They wouldn't have had a Scripture in their homes as well. They needed that Word read to them. They were desperate for it. And that's why they went to the tabernacle, why they went to the temple, why they went to the synagogue. But we should be reminded as well how important it is that we have the reading of Scripture in our worship. I spoke of that in an earlier sermon, but remind us of the importance of that. It's not just about the text that I'm going to preach on. But Scripture reading itself is an important element of our worship, because whenever we open the Bible, we're hearing the Word of God to us. We need to hear God speaking to us, and we hear Him right here in the Holy Scriptures. So Paul says to Timothy, give attention to reading. To reading. Reading the Scriptures. Secondly, exhortation. When we hear the word exhortation, we might think right away of admonish, rebuke. Well, that's part of the term, but it's much more than that. It's much richer than that. The term literally means to come alongside. And therefore, it has the idea of comfort. It has the idea of consolation. You come alongside someone who's hurting, and you bring a word of comfort. But along with that, they might need a word of admonition. And so exhortation refers to all of that. It refers to bringing a word of comfort and encouragement, but also admonition when that is needed. So Paul says to Timothy, in your preaching, in the work that you do in the Word, read the Scriptures and now exhort. Exhort with that word. And then thirdly, along with that, there's doctrine, literally teaching. So Paul is saying there in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and then thirdly, to teaching. To teaching. That's what he's to do. A systematic teaching of the Word of God. What we have here, essentially, is what preaching is. It's taking the Word of God and expounding it. And that expounding it of that Word of God includes exhortation, it includes comfort, it includes admonition, and it includes a systematic teaching of what this Word of God says. So Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, neglect not the gift that is given to you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be faithful in the work of the ministry, and be faithful in the work of the ministry by doing this, teaching, exhorting, and also reading the Holy Scriptures. The emphasis here is that the minister of the gospel is called in his work to read and expound God's Word and must not be distracted from this main work of the ministry. When you go to the form for the ordination of ministers, this is number one. When you go as well to the church order and what it says about the work of the minister, this is number one. This is what he does. He brings the word to the people of God. That means for myself, I must give myself in this work. This is the calling, the main calling of the ministry. That means that in a very practical way, when I'm setting my schedule and so on for another week of work, that as I set that schedule and I carve out time for different things that I'm doing, this is the main thing. This should be the focus of the work that I do, studying the Scriptures, reading the Scriptures, so I can bring that word to you, the people of God. I can do that from the pulpit. I do that in the catechism classrooms. I do that in the visits that are made as well as that word is brought. There are other things that a minister does. There's denominational work, committee work that is done, council and consistory meetings in preparation for those meetings, and many other things as well. And they're important works. But in the midst of all of that, this has to be the main thing. This is the Word of God that comes to me tonight. Remember, to bring the Word, expound that Word, teach the Word. This must be the focus of what I do, because I've been called and equipped to do this by the Holy Spirit. And that's what I remember and you remember as well. It's the Holy Spirit who calls and equips. The Holy Spirit does that. He gives me the abilities that I need so that as I work with the Word, He gives insight into that Word so that Word is brought to you in truth. But by the way, if there are men considering the work of the ministry, it's very easy to look at the negative things. But the great blessing of the ministry is this. Being in the Word daily, studying the Word, being devoted to that work of not only being in the Word and reading the Scripture, but teaching that and bringing the commands and the comfort of the Word of God. What's the result of all of this? Well, the text shows us that there are two things that are a result of faithfulness in the ministry. First of all, verse 15. That thy profiting may appear to all.
What's the idea of profiting? Well, profiting here is progress or advancement in the ministry. Now, we have to be very careful how we look at that. Some in our day might look at advancement in the ministry according to the standards of this world. So a man who goes from a smaller church to a larger church. A man who goes from being an associate pastor or assistant pastor to being the head pastor in the church. That's not what the text is saying. Not that kind of advancement or progress in the ministry. Instead, what Paul is speaking of here is spiritual growth and development in the ministry. Growth in the understanding of the truth of the Word of God and growth in godliness that flows out of that truth. And Paul is saying here that there is that profit for the man who works in the ministry. That's an amazing profit, a wonderful profit. Now, God promises that profit to every one of us, that there is growth in godliness and holiness. He's working all things for that good, that we're conformed to the image of His Son. But now in a particular way, Paul is saying that the work of the ministry serves this purpose. It serves the purpose of progress and growth in doctrine and godliness. What a great blessing that is. And then the congregation benefits from that as well, so that very literally we grow together. That's one of the things I'm so thankful for as I look at the ministry of the Word and being a pastor of two congregations, that together we grow in the Word and how we are to live before God's face. And so the text says in that growth that this is known to all. And that's where I say there's a profit then that comes to you through the growth that takes place in my own life. Through the growth that the Holy Spirit gives me, the Holy Spirit blesses you with growth as well. What a great blessing the Holy Spirit gives to His church. That, first of all, is the result. Secondly, we go to verse 16, which says, "For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now, this is especially striking. Thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. We might shy away from that kind of language, except it's found right here in the Word of God, and we need not be afraid of the language here of the text. It's not saying that I'm responsible for your salvation or my own salvation. But instead, the idea of the text is this: the minister of the gospel is a human means or instrument for the salvation of the people of God. Paul uses this very idea in other places as well. It's not a foreign concept or a new concept. You read of that in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 20 through 22, where he says, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, being not without law," excuse me, "being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." That's the same language that we find here in the text. And it's not saying that Paul saves, but the point that he's making is that he's the instrument of God, the instrument of the Holy Spirit for the salvation of others. So he speaks to Timothy now. "Timothy, you've been called to the ministry. You've been equipped for the ministry by the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of this is this: you will be used for the salvation of God's people." The pastor that continues in the things of truth and godliness will be used for the salvation of the church. That's humbling and profoundly amazing. All of it testifying of the powerful work of God. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. When he speaks of
the treasure of the gospel being in earthen vessels, that the glory would be to God for what He has done. That's the word there. Let me get those specific words. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We read, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." That's what Paul's getting at here. Timothy, you're an earthen vessel. The Holy Spirit's given you a gift. You're growing in that gift. And God's going to use that for the salvation of His church. And that's the word to me too. I've been given a gift. The Holy Spirit calls me to this work. And the Holy Spirit is going to use this for the salvation of the church. All for the glory of God, to declare the power of God. It can't be me. It's the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that doesn't take away from what I'm called to do. That doesn't mean, well, take it easy. God's going to work. He's going to accomplish His purpose. No, it's in this way. It's in this way. Pastor, be faithful. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. Don't abuse it. Don't waste it. But instead, use it. Grow in that under the power of the Holy Spirit. Give yourself wholly in the work and trust that as you do so, God is going to use it for your salvation and for mine. So with that, I'm encouraged in the work of the ministry tonight. And I go forward tomorrow and the days ahead, working in the calling that God has given to me. And please, for you, pray. Pray for me and pray for the ministers of the gospel, that we be not distracted in our work, which can happen. That we give ourselves in the work and calling that Jesus Christ Himself has called us to do. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the ministry of the word. How blessed we are, not because of a man, but because Thou art a God who is pleased to use men for the accomplishing of Thy saving purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt encourage and strengthen our pastor in the work that he has, that he would neglect not the gift that is in him, but give himself wholly to it and be dedicated to it for the glory of Thy name, and use him powerfully in our midst. May he be a man who's godly, and guard him and protect him from all ungodliness and sin. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt continue to bless the ministers in our churches, guard and protect them as well, that they would neglect not the gift that is found in them. Continue to bless us in this night and strengthen us for the week that is before us as well as we go back to the work and callings we have. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.